Well, we thank the Lord for being here. Again, we say we were real blessed with the word of God so far this morning. Well, I heard Brother Preacher said, well, he's preaching my message. So, anyway, we thank God for the word of God. It was a blessing to my soul. And I will try and give a little sequel to it, if we may, by the help of God. The Lord is a marvel. God is a wonder. When we think of the extent that God went to and paid for the salvation of humanity, it marvels that God truly has a deep love for humanity. And he went to the extreme to make it happen. When I think about that, the Lord had added to his resume was death. You thought about that? I am either liveth, right, and then was. That doesn't seem to fit in there, right? But that tells us of God's great love for humanity. It staggers the mind. It is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God put a plan in place that anyone can be saved. Anyone can be holy. Anyone can be sanctified. Anyone can be perfected. Right? If they obey the Lord. Right? It says, for God so loved the entire world. Right? That he gave his only begotten son. When we think about who Jesus is, in my understanding, it seemed like he was the hands-on creator. But the Father said that. The Father told him, right, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, right? The scepter of thy kingdom, the right scepter. The heavens, he said, are the work of thine hands. When you think about who Jesus is, the price he paid for our sins, right? The mystery of godliness, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel, all these wonderful things. So may the Lord help us. If we obey the Lord, there is no way we can miss heaven. Can't happen. It's that simple. So may the Lord help us. Anyway, Ezekiel chapter 43, we're going to start right then and now we'll expand a little bit. Hopefully we won't hold it too long. But God had a plan that was set in place before the foundation of the world.
Yes, that's right.
When mankind failed, God was not stumped.
That's right.
God dwelt in eternity. We dwell in time, so are we affected by time and so forth. But God wasn't stumped. God was ready with a plan.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So anyway, due to Israel's unbelief, God had to insert the law in there, right? Anyway, the law, it seemed like a lot of people failed, so God still wasn't stumped, right? Chapter 10, we're going to cut it short. 43:10 says, but thou, son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. Right? Drop down now to verse 12. This is the law of the house. This is the house that Christ will build now. Not man's hand, right? This is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain. Not Sinai,
yes.
Not Mount Moriah. Right. We're going to find out this mountain anyway. The whole limit round about shall be what?
Most holy.
Shall be what?
Most holy.
Wait a second. What does that mean? All right. The term most holy was given to Jesus. Yeah, it says one time, right? And when I think you would anointed the most holy, was speaking of Christ, right? When you think about perfect holiness, we're talking about, right, the image of Christ, right? But the whole limit of the house round about shall be holy, most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Right. Now, this is the house that Christ will build. St. Luke chapter 1. Praise the Lord. God is a wonderful God. Zechariah, right after he was struck dumb and so forth, when he received back his speech, what did he say? Let's find out. Chapter 1, verse 6 to 7 of Zechariah. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost, praise God, and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." When did that happen? John the Baptist was no accident. It was the hand of God, right? God was talking, taught a work. The Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God is preached, right? And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets. Which has been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies. Back in the Old Testament, right, they fought giants, right? They fought Philistine and so forth. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, though. Against the real deal, against principalities, right? Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're going to need more than a Goliath sword for this job, right? We're going to need the whole armor of God, right? So to be saved from our enemies, right, and from the hand of all that all hate us. I'm going to drop down to verse 73. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. This is the purpose. This is what God is doing. This is for anyone, whosoever will. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 16. Here the Apostle Paul writes, verse 25. 16 verse 25 says, "Now to him that hath power to establish you according to my gospel." To him that's of power to establish you. Note, God can do the job. Yes. Right? See that? To him that's of power to establish you. Right? According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus. Yes. According to the revelation of the mystery. So we need revelation. We need enlightenment, right? All right, let's move on. Which was kept secret since the world began. So this is the real deal we're dealing with right now. But is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Thank the Lord. We're living in the gospel dispensation, right? Where it's by faith, right? The Bible says, "By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So God is able to establish us through the obedience of faith. Now faith, Paul wrote over here in Romans chapter 5, Right? It says, therefore, verse 1 says, therefore being justified by faith. What is faith? I thought about it. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, sometimes, you know, God can convict you without a preacher being there. Right? You come, I remember as a child coming up, my teenage coming up. I don't know if it was, but sometime I was under some serious conviction. Nobody was there but me. Must have been the Lord. Because I was worried about my soul, I'm going to hell. Seriously. I think hard about it, so I decided, well, I'm going to be real good, then I'll be a Christian. I didn't know about grace, and I didn't understand that yet. But the Lord dealt with my heart through some incidents that happened in my life, and I came under some real serious fear one night. I saw my father one night. I don't know, he was got up, like to go to restroom, right? I was watching him, and suddenly he got real stiff with his hand by his side like this and just fell over real backwards and bashed his head against the wooden floor. I don't know, but it brings such a fear upon my heart, right, that for days I didn't leave out of the house. But every book about God I had was close, but I don't know. I was also scared. After a while, the fear receded. Right? Then one day, I was walking down, it was Friday, walking down the little avenue down to get me some lunch, right? And before that happened, there's a young man from the neighborhood, he was a year older than I was. He was a bad guy. Let's say he was a bad guy. He was high on marijuana, so forth, and maybe some gang, whatever, so forth. I was like a good boy, I don't know. But anyway, we knew each other. He borrowed some money from me, and I didn't see him for a long time. So I saw his mom, and I said, well, where is so-and-so? She had a big smile on her face, and she said, he's in church. I about passed out. I was shocked. He in church? I said, yes. Right? Then one Friday, I was going down to buy me some lunch, and I saw him at work. He was in my friend's yard. He was nailing me with the gospel. And something tell me, if he see you, you might be a Christian. I wasn't quite ready yet, so I ducked. And passed by and went to the store, bought and ducked and came back and went back home. Friday night, me and my best friend, right, we were deep into horse racing. So we had a horse racing program that Friday night. I had no intention of getting saved that night. So we were deep into it. Me and my friend were walking down the avenue and we stopped. Here comes the gentleman. And he called my name out real loud. So you are living without God. And something hit me like a thunderbolt. Boom. Went straight through me and I was shocked. And I realized, what am I doing? I'm living without God. I was broken. Right? So he came to talk to me. And my friend was kind of resisting, but when my friend saw me humbling myself, he did the same thing. He talked to us, but I was already, maybe I got saved then, I don't know what happened. But he came and said, well, we pray. I didn't know how to pray. So he prayed, we repeat after him. One thing I know, there's a change in my life on the spot. Right? So it seemed like when God deals with our hearts, right, and we're on the conviction, I see in my mind God has a big bowl of faith right there, right? So as you believe, right, the faith is there for salvation, right? By grace are we saved through faith. But what a wonderful change in my life was wrought when Jesus came into my heart. So he told us, right, go home. I came down the street. A sinner, and I went back up the street, a saved person. Right? He told us, right? Go home, read St. John chapter 1 and pray, he said. Well, I read St. John chapter 1, 2, and 3, and I don't, the next day I didn't go anywhere. The next day was young people, they said we're going to go to church, it's young people meeting, right? So, all right, and I get supposed to carry a Bible, right? We had the only Bible we had, it was a big family Bible. I put it under my arm, and I meant business. Step out, there's a young lady in the neighborhood, she burst out laughing. Didn't faze me, right? When I went to church, when I went into the chapel, well, you know, he was telling us, you know, how nice the people are. So in my mind, I said, oh, that's church talk. Yeah, they're nice. But when I went inside the chapel, I saw a glorious sight. There's a whole bunch of young people. They were all modest, and they had their hand raised and singing. Oh, my God. I was one. Oh, I was shocked. I said, this is what I wanted. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, that was my beginning of faith. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And I begin to, and for 1 year I was home. I spent fasting and praying and digging the word and so forth. Oh, God, I found that God was real for real. Yeah, if I tell you something that God did, you might not believe me, honestly. Well, anyway, I got the Lord wonderfully saved my soul. Amen. Well, let me add to also, how did I get here? When my mom was here, my two sisters were here, and it was my turn to turn toward, you know, be taken up to YouTube. But after I got saved, I lost all interest coming to America. It was so good in church. Right? It was so wonderful. But anyway, so I didn't tell anybody. It's just my feeling. I told my mom that. But I don't know how my sister got a hold of that. I didn't tell nobody. She came to my face one and said, listen, mom is doing everything she can to get to go to America. You're acting like you don't want to go. And she broke my heart. So and then I start beginning. So I prayed. I said, Lord, lead me to some people that can be a blessing to me. That was my prayer. Well, the short story is, right, one day I went for a job interview. My sister took me. When I left, I couldn't find her. She couldn't find me. So I had to take the bus home. So there's a seat I like on the bus, right? You have the driver up front there. Then there's a sideways seat and there's this regular seat. I like that seat by the window. I can, you know, observe the neighborhood and so forth. So when the bus came, I looked in the door and I saw the seat was empty. But sitting right in the seat was a young lady who looked like she was a Christian. Anyway, I went in the bus, right? And I sat in the seat. As my custom was, I started singing. I mean to go right on until the cross. After a while, the voice next to me said, now, which church you go to? So I was attending my uncle's church, but something wonderful happened. One day, close to my mom's house, a big voice, it wasn't audible, a big voice came in my face and says, do not go back to the church. I'm wondering, why would a voice say that? I think I went one more time. But that day when I sat there and the voice, I told her which church, what church do you go to? She said, the church of God? I said, where's that? With Brother Hargrave's church. That's why I got here. Praise the Lord. So God was good to me as a young person. It was wonderful. Anyway, I enjoy you all, people. You have been a blessing to me. I learned a lot of things from you all. After I came and began singing, well, we had, where I came from, the hymnal of the Church of God. What I have. So it had some of the songs. But when I began to sing the evening light songs, it deepened my understanding of the church. I had a little vision, but it gave me a lot more understanding. I said, well, praise the Lord. Amen. So, anyway, I like being here. All right, let's get back to the word of God. Now, we're talking about now this great plan of salvation that God did and how it works, and it does work, right? And we don't have to fail or falter. Ephesians chapter 1. If we read that book carefully, okay, the people that he was writing to, it seemed like they were sanctified, according to verse 13. Chapter 1, verse 13 says, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, after that ye, that's a big word, believed, right? After that they believed, they were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, so they were sanctified people. But were they a finished product? No. This is the fall now, right? Verse 15 says, Paul, so wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. To what end? That the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's very important that we know God. Not head knowledge, experiential knowledge, wisdom and guidance. All right. So Paul was a wise man. You know, was a wise master builder. He knew this. That God would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding. Not these eyes right here. The eyes of your spiritual understanding. May be enlightened. We need that, right? That you know, may know what is the hope of his calling. Salvation, one song says, richer far than gold, than glittering gem that turns to mold, its wealth no language e'er has told, it satisfied my soul, right. The Bible speaks of a glorious salvation. Seem like there are some deep things in the Old Testament about the church, especially in the book of Isaiah. So the work of righteousness, right, shall be peace, the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. All those wonderful promises are right before us in the scripture. But it's been fulfilled in us now in the New Testament era. All right. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling. This is a big deal, saints. This is the biggest deal. Right? There is nothing to compare to salvation, nothing in this world.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. But we must find out for ourselves. Yes. Amen. Right. So Paul said, Paul prayed. This doesn't take IQ. Doesn't take advanced degree. This is a heart issue.
Yes.
Right? It's a heart issue, right?
Yes.
Amen. So, right, you may know, so this, right, Jesus says, right, you have hid these things, right, from the wise and prudence, be them unto babes. What a babe? People would humble themselves to walk with God, right? Right. So you want us to know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The purpose of God is to conform us to the very image of Christ, right?
Yes.
Yes. In this life.
Yes.
So we don't want to lose the focus.
That's right.
We want to understand the calling,
yes,
right? And the purpose of God,
yes,
what he's calling us to, so that we can work out this salvation with fear and trembling. All right. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ? Now, this power was the power that raised Christ from the dead. Someone might say, well, that's no big deal. Peter raised people from the dead. But not like this one. There's something more to it, right? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. This is the same word that God wants to work in us. It's the same power. The Bible says, according as his divine power, right, has given to us all things which pertain to life and godliness. All these things are given to us, but we must follow on to know the Lord. Amen. All right. It says, and has put all things under his feet and given to be the head over all things to who? Look who's our captain. Look who's leading us. He never lost a battle. If we obey God like we should, nothing can stop us. Thank the Lord. All right? Chapter 3, Ephesians. Right? This is the mark. I won't take time to go into all these details, but one of our songs says, Church of God, the angels marvel. You know that's true? Paul said, right? Well, let's read what Paul said. Well, it's all not start up further, right? Let's start at verse 1. For this cause, verse 1, I, Paul, the prisoner of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me for your word, how that by revelation, here we go. So Paul wasn't taught this. But how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my mystery in the gospel, my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, praise the Lord. So all them wonderful promises that was made to Israel, whatever, about the future, involved the Gentiles too. Praise the Lord, right? Thank God. Should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Right? Whereunto I have made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the what? The unsearchable riches of Christ. Lord help us. There is a lot to learn and to get a hold of that we might glorify God in the highest. You know what the angel said? The angel said, glory to God in the highest. Where? In the church. Right? And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. One of our songs says, how sweet this bond of perfectness, right? The wondrous love of Jesus, a pure foretaste of heaven's bliss, oh, fellowship so precious. Here it goes, right? When the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts like it should be, like the Lord said over in St. John chapter 17, can you imagine the fellowship? The Lord said that they might be one. But think about it. As the Father and the Son, that staggers the mind, isn't it? But experience is there for us to have. Amen. So, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers were these in the heavenly places. Were those? That must be angels, right? I don't know. That's what I think. Might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So when the angels saw the church, over there in St. John chapter 17, John said, well, I saw a number which no man could number. Describe them, right? White robes with palms in their hands, right? Washed their robe and made them white, right? What did the angel do when they see? They fell down and they worshiped, right? Yeah. When the angels saw it, right? Here it is, right? When the angels saw the church, they begin to understand, oh, my goodness, right? According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God has an eternal purpose, right? You know, I thought about the only, I don't know what word to use, but only part of God's creation that's going to escape God's judgment, survive God's judgment, you know, just saints. right? It says, right? Earth shall, right? Heaven shall pass away, right? The earth burn up, all them things, just the saints. How precious. How wonderful it is to be a saint, right? A saint of the Most High God. Lord help us. All right? So, now let me flip the page now. We'll come to this now, right? Verse 13 now says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is for your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father for Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, right? That he would grant you a grant. What is a grant? We understand grants, right? You meet certain criteria. They can grant you, right? Scholarship, right? Can go to school, you know, free of charge. Grant, right? You don't have to pay for it. So God is granting us, right? So you see, the goods are there for us to make it in. It's being given to us freely by his grace. He would grant unto us according to the riches of his glory to be what? Talking about biceps or triceps? I think the Bible says of John and of Christ, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, right? Yeah. This thing is about heart and spirit. Yeah. Jesus says, if the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Right? He granted to us that Christ might dwell in your heart by faith. That what? Ye, now, mind you, now, these people read that they were sanctified, right? Did we read that? Yeah, in verse 13, it said they were sanctified, right? They believe. So, when you're after you're sanctified, God's not done. Right? This opens you up now to get all these blessings done, right? After you're fully decided for God, God wants to work a wonderful work in you. You and me, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That's important. There's something we can't understand till we're there. Do you know that? The Bible says so right here. You can only see it of love, through the lens of love. To truly understand God, you got to have his love in your heart. Yeah. Here it is. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, and it's for all saints, with all saints, what the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So this is a glorious work. This is mankind's greatest blessing that they could have. And the apostles, right, is handing it down to us. Paul's been there, right? Was necessary that Paul was there, that he can teach it. The Lord gave him a great calling, right? Lord called him and told him, right, this is your assignment, Paul. Here he is getting the job done, right? Now, does that stagger our mind? But all we have to do is stay in school, right? Stay in class. Christ the teacher, yeah. Holy Ghost, right? We must faithfully come to class, right? Apply ourselves, do our homework, just like, you know, so to speak, in a natural sense, right? No one can come out with a big degree, right? So if we are faithful in our walk with the Lord like we should be, right, this thing will happen in our life. Yes. Amen. Right. So to truly and to know God is through the element of his divine love. Now, sometimes some seeming hard things are said in the scripture, Jesus says, if they slap you on one cheek, right, turn the other one. But in the context of God's love, it is not. If we don't have that love shed abroad, it might be hard to do it, right? But when we love God like Jesus did, right, we obey, right? We want to please God with all of our hearts. Thank the Lord. All right, so let's move on to chapter 4 now, right? Verse 11 says, he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Someone says, no man is perfect. Well, Job was already, that's Old Testament. But this is the new. And God invests his divine power into salvation. Yeah. And Christ is going to sit as a refiner. That's what the Bible says. And he's going to sit down and get a job done, right? The Bible says he's sitting on the right hand of God. What's he doing there? He's sitting as a refiner, right? And a purifier of silver. And he'll purify and purge the sons of Levi that he may offer unto God an offering in righteousness, right? In other words, save them to the uttermost. That Paul sit over there. That offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So here it is, right, for the perfecting of the saints. Right, it says, verse 13 says, till we all come, somebody read it for me, please, verse 13. Ephesians 4 and verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God's purpose, it says over in Romans 8, is to conform us to the very image of Christ. We can thwart God's purpose. Right? If we are neglectful, right, if we don't seek God diligently like we should, it won't happen. The Bible says the diligent soul, right, shall be made fat. He says also, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Right? So we don't have to fail the grace of God. And God's grace is sufficient for every need. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, and what it says, has appeared to all men. Anyone can have it. Teaching us, thank the Lord, the grace of God in our life will teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amazing grace, right? All right, Colossians chapter 1. Paul, according to Paul, he's never seen these people. He heard about them. It seemed like somebody who got saved on Paul's ministry and went out and win these people. So Paul heard about him, and Paul's writing to them. Right? Verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, they were doing real well. They were a blessing. Right? So Paul was thanking God. But Paul, as a wise master builder, knew that there's more things ahead for them. Right? So it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do we need all that? Do we? According to the apostle, we do. Let me read again. Right? For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here's the reason why. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. What a blessing and a calling for humanity. Unto all patience. Did this say all patience? I read it like this. All patience and all long-suffering with joyfulness. This is the amazing grace of God. And every one of us can have it. Right, but we have to gonna have to have a serious prayer life, right? Seek God diligently, because spend time in studying God's word, right? Verse 12. Now, if you read Christ now, right, in St. John chapter, he's saying the same thing in other words, right? So if ye abide in me, right, and my word abide in you, ye that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me can do nothing. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. This is saying the same thing in other words, right? That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Here it is now, giving thanks to the Father. This morning we heard about the fruit of our lips, right? Giving him thanks. One of our songs said it like this. Do you feel, right, the mighty living power, filling all thy mortal frame, and does all thy heart forever pour streams of glory to his name? Well, this feeling we're reading about, right, this is that mighty power, right? Filling all your mortal frame, strengthened with all might. Wait a second. Does that stagger your mind? With all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, Lord help us, and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we need that enlightenment, right? But we're going to have to, like we heard this morning, build up that house upon the rock, right? Working on our own salvation with fear and trembling. All right, we're going to finish. We're going to look at a couple more scriptures and we stop. Okay. Verse 19, same chapter says, for it pleased the Father that in him Christ should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Thank God. And all reconciled to God through Jesus. I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, a great love of God, right? Reconciled us when we're yet sinners, right? In the body of his flesh through death. Christ reconciled us for this purpose. Here it is. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's a real work, isn't it? In his sight. Right? That means it's real. But that's the work that Christ will do in us. So we don't have to draw back, right? If we seek God like the Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. So if we seek God like we should, he work the work in us. This is God's purpose, right? So you do what it says, verse 20 says, if, here's a condition now, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which was preached unto every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Thank the Lord. Now, two and verse six, same book, says, as ye have therefore received, it's Colossians 2 and verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How? Yes. Rooted.
Built up in him.
Yes. Yes.
As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
So this is the way. So this is our assignment. See? This is our instructions. Right? If we do the work, it will happen just like the Bible reads. Amen. Thank the Lord. All right, Hebrews. Go here quick so we can shut this thing down. Chapter 12 chapter of Hebrews. Verse 3 says, looking unto Jesus, 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. Right? So what is begun, right, is able to complete. The author and finisher of our faith. Right? Now, I think down here someplace, right, verse 15 says, looking diligently. Looking diligently. Lest, right, any man fail of the grace of God. If we fail to look diligently, things can overtake us. It says right here, lest in root of bitterness, right? What else, right? Any fornicator, right? Profane person, all these things can creep back into our lives if we don't look diligently. Right? So it's very important that we be diligent in our walk with the Lord. Right? If not, we will fail of the grace of God. Okay, Hebrews 12 now, right? Still in chapter 12. Okay, now. This, we talk about the house being on the top of the mountain. Well, here's the house. 22 said, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. The city of God, the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. It's not in heaven. It's in heavenly places. It's right here. It's experienced right here. Ye are come now to Mount Zion. The city of the, in this house, right, the Lord of the house is most holy. Yes. Right. It says, what does it say right here? Verse 23 says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which is in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Paul says one place, I pray God you hold, what he says? Spirit and soul and body, right, be preserved blameless. He says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We'll come now, right? Didn't the Bible talk about a meek and a quiet spirit, which is the sight of God of great price? So in this work, right, in this better temple, right, we come to this to where spirits are perfected. One person says one place, create within me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit. How much more in our dispensation? We'll come to this, thank the Lord. So may the Lord inspire our hearts, right? We're living in some serious times, but God hasn't changed his mind about his work. No matter what you see out there, make sure, right, your life with God is intact. Make your calling and election sure. Stay in the word of God. Stay on your knees. Seek God with your whole heart, right? Lay on the altar of sacrifice. Let God fulfill his work in you. But when we come down to the end, right? Revelation chapter 7. John says, I saw a number which no man could number, right? Verse 9 says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude of all nations, tongues, kindred, if all of them made it, you can make it too. We can make it too. Yeah. From all over the earth, and people made it, stood before the throne. You know what that means? That they were right with God. They were holy. Yeah. And before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. Right? And the angels stood round about, right? And they fell on their faces, and when the angels saw it, they worshiped God. Right? Verse 13 says, one angel answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came? Where they came from? I said, sir, thou knowest. Says, these are they which came out of great, that didn't stop them, great tribulation. Yes. Praise the Lord. And have washed their robes. How did they wash their robes? Right? In the blood of the Lamb, right? Yes. Praise God. And see, sometimes some people wash only so far. But they washed their robes and they made them white. The blood will work a perfect cure, one song says. It will cleanse the heart, right, and keep it pure. But these people, they washed their robes and they made them white. We've got to go all the way with the Lord, right? The blood, right, can get the job done. And they did, right? They washed their robes and made them white. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Right? Now, if you read Isaiah about this passage right here, it says, they shall hunger no more. Isaiah said the same thing in reference to the church. The Lord said the same thing, right? Said, so now, he that believeth me shall never hunger, something like that, right? And never thirst. The Lord said that. So we can have a full experience right here on earth. Right? So may the Lord help us, right? But it will take diligence. It will take us, Paul said, right? What goes? Praying always. What it said? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, right? That's part of the armor. Right? And he told Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He said also, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. All these things we must do, right? If we seek God diligently, God will do the work in us. Let me stop, right? Here it is. And I sit on. I'm sorry. The last book of Hebrews, I think like about this the last two verses. Here it is. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So God will do it through Jesus. Praise God. Pray for me, please, saints. We're living in perilous times, but that can't stop us. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same, right? Yesterday, today, and forever. Pray for me, please.